If we take one of our situations and take a close look at the condition of our batin, our inner self, and this majlis is here for this reason, this gathering is here for this reason, that which position are we in? And after that, we see something that where there are defects and errors, and then we do dua to Allah and we try to eradicate those defects which are hurdles and barriers between us and success in the hereafter, and which can become adab, punishment in the hereafter. And these errors can be a source of Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, and it's Allah Ta'ala's extreme shukr. We are extremely grateful to Allah that that individual, that Allah Ta'ala gives an individual some moments in which he can sit and think about himself or herself, that I in the akhirah, where with regards to the hereafter, where am I wrong, where are my errors and mistakes. And Allah Ta'ala likes this good habit of a human being. Very few people are there who sit and reflect upon the state of their life. And we look at ourselves very closely with regards to this, but we think we are pious and I'm a good man, I'm this and I'm that. And there are many things that our nafs leads us to believe that what we are, which we are not. But the manzil, the destination, the end point, the hurdles on the way are a big deception. And to understand this deception, then we have a big example of how this was understood, and that is the noble companions radiallahu anhum. If we take any companion, any sahabi, from Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to any companion, none of them considered themselves as I'm very good or I'm pious or Allah will forgive me. They always had a worry that they were not in a good situation, from the greatest sahabi, to any companion. So this deception in human beings, very dangerous deception. And insan, the human being, should definitely analyze himself. And these majalis, these gatherings, they may look bitter, they may look bad or seem bad, or when we listen, we may think, oh, this is not, you know, this is negative. But our gathering around is for this reason in reality, that we haven't come here to share with each other, oh, I'm greater than this person, I'm better or I'm big. Rather, we are here to learn and understand what are the defects in our lives. And sometimes we can, for example, gauge this fact. And we are doing tazkiyah. Look around us, the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ni'mah, this great treasure, the biggest treasure, with regards to the hereafter. And the hereafter, to gain this, Allah Ta'ala has given us the ability, the tawfiq, to do good deeds. This is a big ni'mah. To come here and sit down is a big ni'mah of Allah, to come to this majlis. It's a massive ni'mah, a massive gift. We cannot imagine the magnitude of this gift that Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy He has given to us to attend. And there's no, you can say, we cannot repay this favor of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We cannot imagine. And the rest, for example, we prayed Salah, Fajr in Jama'ah, Dhuhr, Asr. Allah Ta'ala allowed us pray Maghrib and Isha prayer. These are fard. These are compulsory deeds. And the status of compulsory deeds is that Allah Ta'ala has given us the fard actions, the five Salah and Ramadan, and we get the fasting in Ramadan, and Zakah. So we fast in Ramadan, and then we get the opportunity to pay Zakah, and Hajj, just one Hajj in life. If we do Fard Hajj, to fulfill the Fard Hajj, these are all big ni'mas, big gifts and treasures. And after this, we don't have need for anything else in reality, anything else. And from this, a person can surpass all of the levels. All of the levels. Are these small deeds? Yes. That we don't need to do much effort, we don't need to strive much, etc. That the faraid that Allah Ta'ala has given, that the value of one fard is so great that if you try to observe voluntary prayer all your life long, you cannot compensate for the loss of one fard. Salah, or action. All lifelong a person can fast voluntarily from morning to evening. Extreme heat, subhanAllah. But Ramadan's one fast in the winter, the 5 or 6 hours long fast, the voluntary fast cannot equate. The 6 hours fast which you start at a.m. and you break fast at 4 p.m. in comparison to that, all year long if in this extreme heat where you are sweating and you keep the fast, they cannot equate to 1 second of that fard fast. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. So fard is a great thing. So may Allah not allow that time to come. That if a person is, you can say, disregarding fard, then that person's destroying himself or herself. And that person's making a big loss in life. And the big objective of life has gone. It's been lost. That's why the hadith is not it for nothing. Is it that if somebody's salah is being left, it's as if that person, his home, his family, wife, children, all have been lost. All are destroyed, totally gone and lost. This is the value of one fard, one compulsory deed. So this ni'mah Allah has given to us a great treasure, great reward. And if we are fulfilling the fard actions with the fadl of Allah, I'm speaking about those people who are fulfilling the deeds. Yes? And then after that, if a person start to practice nafl, then subhanAllah, his life is nur ala nur, extra illumination and light and benefit. Person sits up to fard, gets ishraq, tahajjud, extra voluntary actions. Then that person is high, high status, and he's reached to the qurb, the nearness of Allah. And if Allah Ta'ala gives that person extra tawfiq that he's reciting Qur'an, subhanAllah, and he's got a regular habit of Qur'an recitation, then that person, mashallah, individual, there's extreme ni'mas for that person and opportunity to earn the hereafter. So, if we see here now, we'll just mention the Qur'an here. Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once present, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was also present, sat. And he's the head of the angels, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the head of all of the human beings. So what a gathering. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, head of the human being, humankind, and the angels head, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. And there was discussion, and suddenly a noise came. And both those great personalities, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, they used to hear everything on the earth and in the heavens, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam knew. Then suddenly, a noise in the heavens, in the skies, like the sky was splitting, like a clap of thunder. And they both started to think, what happened? And then suddenly, such an angel descended from the heavens, that before that day, he had never descended before that, such an angel. And what angel must that have been? That when it descended, and Jibreel alayhi salam is sat as well, when the angel came, then the sky was split. And such power, imagine the nur and the light. And the first time that angel had descended since the earth had been created, all the anbiya who had come, but such an angel had not come to the earth. And obviously when it came down, what a great angel, Imamul Anbiya. And the angel compared to the Prophet, he's the servant of the servant. And they are so, you can say, in enjoyment when they see the Prophet when he came down. He saw the Awa Sardar, the head of the angels, the sad. Then he saw the Sardar, the master of the master. He said, As-salatu wassalamu, As-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah. O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he presented his salam in the presence of the Prophet. He said, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this urge is that Allah Ta'ala has sent me to you. Say subhanallah. Such a great discussion. Say subhanallah. Okay? When we hear such events, so look here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present, the angel has come, Jibreel alayhi wasallam is there, and the Quranic, when we mentioned the Quran, these words came to me, because we read the Quran, so we understand that what is the Quran. So the angel said, I have come with a message. Allah Ta'ala sent me with a message. MashaAllah. What is the message? And the angel said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you two noors, two lights, that no previous prophet was given these two lights. So this is happiness that the Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he was given, and he always said that whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to me, I distribute onwards to my ummah. This was his great habit. Rasulullah said that Allah gives to me and I distribute taqseem. So then that day, our destiny was being, you can say, furthered and improved. The angel said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala has given you two noors, lights that no previous Prophet had this. And Rasulullah said, what are these? Surah Fatiha with 7 verses and the final verses of Surah Baqarah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now tell me, is there greater treasure than this? Then after this, if we, Subhanallah, he saluted and he left and disappeared. And this was the gift to the Ummah. To the Ummah of the Muslimin. Tell me. Tell me, what a great, great reward Allah Ta'ala has given us. Do we recite? Do we read? And quite a few people will have recited in Isha Salah. Did anybody recite the verses of Surah Baqarah? And the Noor, the light. Imagine the light. If a person recites these verses, such Noor goes into Surah Al-Fatiha. What a great chapter. 7 verses. The chapter of Fatiha. There's so much praise and definition and commentary that me and you and Zayd and Bakr and Mawlana Sahib, everyone has these two noors at their disposal. There's no differentiation. Every person of Iman, there's no speciality that only you can read this or you. Subhanallah, the most sinful of persons can recite these verses from the Quran. So much barakah. And this is free. For everyone, Allah Ta'ala said, no, these verses are so great. Only these people, A, B, C, D, can recite these. Only special people can recite these. No. No. No such case. The sinful, most sinful person of the Ummah, if he recites this, such a great noor will have come to that person's life. Now, me, if I, what I said in the beginning, that insan, if a person, human being, has such great rewards of Allah, Allah Ta'ala makes us wealthy upon wealthy with these resources, but there are no effects that are visible in our lives based on what Allah Ta'ala is going to do. So what's the reason for this? So we have to think about this now, isn't it? This is the message I gave to you, isn't it? So is this something to think about or not, my friends? That you also will recite Surah Fatiha, and you do recite a lot. You recite, don't you, Surah Al-Fatiha? You do. Of course. And you pray Salah, and in Salah, as I said to you, Salah is essential, it's fard. It's compulsory. I told you about fasting in Ramadan, the value of the fast in Ramadan. But we don't see the effects of these great deeds in our lives. Can you see the effects? That we, for example, should be floating in the air. We should be so thin. We should be so light, rather. Light and free from sin. But we are empty boxes. We finish the whole Quran in recitation and we're still the same people. No improvement. No improvement. What's the reason? There must be a reason for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us great, great deeds with great impact. And many people have reached to high maqams, and the previous anbiya, the prophets, the nabis, the sahaba, they had these tools at their disposal. They had these resources. They didn't have any other supernatural deeds. They read the same verses, the same Quran as we do. When they used to recite, then this nur, the light, would come into their lives. But what nur is there in us? That I've recited Surah Fatiha. Where's the nur of this surah in my life? Surah Baqarah, the final few verses I recite. Where's the nur of these verses in my life? Where? I say, oh, I've got nur inside me. Okay, that is nur. Then what is the real effect? That I've recited 15 Quran. Oh, and I just spoke about 2 verses. Do you know the rest of the verses? The rest, that the collective Quranic verses, that if you put the whole Quran on a mountain, it would crumble to dust. This is the power of the Quran. So if we take any verse of the Quran, what do we think about the Quran? There's no word to define. We have all of these things with the fadl of Allah, that subhanAllah, a person makes a ta'weez and hangs it around his neck. The Quran, the person has the power of the Quran. The effect of the Quran. What's the effect though in our lives? Very sad, very unfortunate, and very sad to say there's no effect. It's just like, for example, if you give somebody milk crushed with almonds and there's butter in that milk, then when he goes to a bodybuilder and he slaps him and he falls down, he says, you've been given the food and the energy, the raw almonds. Where's the effect of this? The old man, you ate the almonds and you practiced and suddenly you just crumble to dust. So we have such great deeds, we implement them, and then we will be told to people like us in the hereafter that put them into hellfire. Think about this. Isn't this sad? I'm just giving one example. That, where are you going? Where I'm going? Look, where did you go? What are you doing? I'm going to pray. When you prayed Salah, did the Noor come? When you read the Quran, did the Noor come? These many chapters you recited, did the Noor come into your life? Is there Noor? In effect, was Noor and the light of these deeds is a great, great effect. This is Noor, isn't it? All of these deeds, for example, we're in this room, the lights are on, we can see each other, we can recognize each other. Iqbal Sahib is there, this person's there, this person's there. We all see each other. And if the lights are switched off, we won't see anybody. Will I see, is there a monkey or an animal here? Is this person here, that person here? We won't see each other. Isn't this the case? So these nurani effects. So when we see this nur, what will we see? Subhanallah. When this nur will come, then the reality of the sins will be visible. We'll see lie. Oh, this is lying. Oh, the lie. It will be visible. It will be, look like Jahannam hanging in front of us. So when there's nur of the good deeds in our lives, we'll see vividly the sin. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That when a person recites Quran and the light of the Quran descends into that person, then it's proof that when a person has the light of the Quran inside him, he cannot lie. He will have seen the reality of the deeds that he's implementing. For example, this light is off. And I'm a thief. I'm a thief, okay? And the light is off. Now how do I know? Is the policeman here, constable here, PC here? I'll sit here with these. Soon as the light's on, I say, oh, policeman, constable, I'll run away. And he'll run after me to get me. Because I'll be scared. The same way, a human being is the same. That when a person's doing ibadat, such great deeds, one salah, the nur of salah comes into us, the question doesn't arise that after praying salah, I commit a sin. That my feet should go towards sin. Because nur has come into me. And then I see the reality of the Quran, I'll see the reality of the life. Allah tawbah, Allah forgive, Allah forgive. This is the punishment, this is the punishment. So never will a person who reads salah, pray salah. Because the Quran says this, that the effect of the salah is that it prevents a person from going to immodest deeds. And what's our salah? Our salah results in we still go towards sin. We are still gangsters. We still do actions of wrong actions. So that means that our salah is not on the right status. The bulb is on. The light's been switched on. But there's no light coming from. We say throw the bulb in the bin. So we pray salah. We carry out the actions of salah. But even despite this, after that to implement a sin and to feel the taste of sin and to have the desire for sin and to have the request or the yearning for sin to go towards sin. And a person says, for example, don't lie, I shouldn't lie, I shouldn't do this action. What kind of action is this for a Muslim? That is this the necessity that a Muslim comes to me, I've come to pray Salah, I've come to pray Jummah. Someone stands and says, don't lie, don't backbite. The Muslim should say, please tell me something beneficial. Why are you telling me these basic things? I've come to pray Salah. Salah has given me all these things. I can't carry out these actions of lying and fraud. Tell me something else that we can understand which is correct. This is weird what you're saying to me. What nasiha are you going to me advise? I'm already on this platform. So nasiha is given for this reason, because there's no nur in our hearts that we can revive ourselves. So basically today's mode of thinking, what I'm thinking, is that within us, despite having all of these great deeds, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to practice. And the greatest point here is that the two verses of the Quran, that the angel, the clouds split, the sky split, the heavens split, and he descended to give this gift of these verses. Then when these verses are recited and the nur goes into our hearts, it should make all of our internals of batin pure. So what do we need to be worried about? What do we need to think? I have to think, what's the reason that I recite and I do these actions but the nur doesn't come in? Why isn't there the effect of dhikr in my life? Is dhikr a minor action? What is the dhikr of Allah? What is the nur of the dhikr of Allah? What is the light of the dhikr of Allah? The nur of the dhikr of Allah is contained within the name of Allah. There's no greater light than the name of Allah. Allah's name, which if the name of Allah is recited in the heart and the seven maqams, seven places of the body, and that person is doing dhikr and there's no nur, and that man or woman is still committing sins, there's a reason for this. Is that fine? We have the bulbs, but the light is dim. It is off. There's no illumination. Shall I tell you the reason? We're thinking, is it something to think about, isn't it? That I'm not wasting your time, am I? Tell me the truth. Hands up if you think what I'm saying is correct. I'm not wasting your time, am I? That please put your hands up if you say that I'm not wasting your time. So I know that what you're thinking. Okay, that's fine. So we need to ponder, what is the reason that we don't get the light of our deeds in our lives? The light. What I'm thinking, what I've thought, I'll share with you. And if you like what I say, then you should embrace it. And then if Allah gives a tawfiq, I'll tell you a hadith as well. And that's also coming to my mind with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. And then the whole subject will be solid and sealed. Isn't Haji Sahib? That if we just stood there in the same place with all these deeds under the sun, we're still in the same place as we were before. But the enjoyment is this, that one salah, one fard salah is such, the faraid, the compulsory deeds are such that if their nur comes into our life, we have no need to do anything else. The Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did say that if I pray salah, if I do this, I do this. Rasulullah said, go, Jannah is yours. After that, we don't need anything else. Nafal, voluntary actions, that's your choice. But the faraid, the compulsory actions, this is enough to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does a person cease to stop the, not even do these things, but there's no nur within us and we go towards sin? So, what I've understood is the reason that there's no nur in our lives due to carrying out the fard actions, the hadith supports this. The reason is that we are implementing the deeds and we practice the deeds, the compulsory deeds, but when it comes inside us, then it becomes dark. So there's nothing to receive our deeds within us. And do you know where all these ibadats go? Do you know where all the worship goes? Do you know? All the worship actions, whatever an action a person does, fard actions, compulsory, nafil, voluntary, Quran, first it goes to where? The mind? To the brain, to our ears, to our mouth, to our nose, to our lungs, to where? No, it goes to the heart. Where do all the deeds go to? The heart. And whenever you do ibadah, worship, recite, straight away the worship, the actions will go to the heart. And then from the heart, the deeds are distributed. Allahu Akbar. From the angels have a link to the heart, and then the heart opens up, expands. When a person does ibadah, the veils are removed, they're lifted. What happens then is that when we do all ibadah, and then when the ibadah, the deeds go inside us, it's not received, they're not received by the heart. Because the receiver, the reception, you know, you have a phone, and you have the receiver, you have the power, the battery, but there's no reception. Will you receive the call? No. Why? Because there was no reception here. Oh, let's go out to the building, or go to near where there's light, etc. So when we see that we prayed salah, and within us, salah has not benefited us, then understand at that time that we don't have reception within us. SubhanAllah, mashallah, you understand. We don't have the capacity to receive that deed. Just like the phone doesn't have the capacity to receive the call. So this means that our heart is spoilt. The deeds don't absorb into the heart. The heart is spoilt. The heart is spoilt. I'll tell you one sin, because due to sins, the heart becomes spoiled. We don't prevent the sins, we don't cease the sins, we don't protect the heart. We need to protect our hearts. We need to protect the heart because all the light will gather and become more intense in the heart, and then the heart emits the light. And our bank, we have no security against the deposit of the deeds in our bank, which is the heart. We don't try to purify our heart, keep it clean, glowing, shining. As soon as we pray salah, it absorbs into the heart, then it emits from the heart to the heavens. The deeds, they emit to the heavens. If the heart is spoiled, then the deeds, they are black before they even come into the heart. Let me tell you something. This is a hadith narrated in Abu Dawood. And the narrator of this is a great sahabi, a great companion, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, great status in terms of knowledge and ilm. Hadith in Abu Dawood, collection of Abu Dawood, and the narrator is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once present, and he stated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O people, any individual, any person, with regards to another person, don't deliver or share the facts about another person to me. I'm telling you something here with regards to the state of heart, that an individual should not deliver the words or the status of another person to me, because I love, I like, I prefer. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us what he likes. SubhanAllah. May we give all and assign all to the preference of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, I like this fact that when I come and sit amongst you, then my heart should be clean with regards to all of you. I shouldn't have any bad feelings about anybody. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. That just like this gathering that's in front of me. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ said that I feel in my heart that there's no complaint or no ill feeling that I harbor in my heart against anybody. That, for example, you go to someone's family, you're sitting in the family, and your heart feels that I am sitting amongst my uncles and aunties, puppy, cha-cha, etc. And we sit in a masjid, for example, you're sitting in the masjid, and all of the people are sitting, I should not have any ill feeling or negative feeling against anybody in my heart. And the wahid, one reason that I will have an ill feeling is that somebody will have told me something bad about somebody else. For example, somebody is bad, and he thinks bad about you, he doesn't like you, but you don't know that that person is envious against you or hates you. What do you say? Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Are you okay? Are you fine? Come, please, let's sit down, drink tea. You will be nice to that person with love, but he hates you. If your heart is clean and pure, then after some time, his heart will also become clean and pure. This is the quality of the ta'aleem of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. 90% our heart today, which is spoiled. The reason, my brothers, is for this reason, is spoiled. Because we have to go out, environment, we have to drive taxi, go to the shop, go to work. We have small gatherings, big gatherings, home, family. Always we are amongst the social gathering. We are social animals. And the biggest reason for our hearts to become spoiled is someone has told me something about another person. He told me about this person. She told me about this person. Oh, he hates you. He doesn't like you. She said this about you. He said this about you. The heart becomes spoiled. So the heart becomes black. And we are destroying ourselves by listening to third party statements. But look at the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ told us a tariqah that I love, that when I sit in a gathering, wherever I go, wherever I'm seated, whoever I'm sat with, then I don't want to have bad feelings in my heart about against anybody. Subhanallah. So if in your heart then you don't have ill feeling about anybody, then if there's an enemy against you, how do you know that that person's your enemy? If you don't receive any information about that person, if you're not told that this person swore against you, backbited against you, slandered you, said this about you, hates you. For example, if thousands of reports are delivered to you, when that person comes in front of you, then your face will change, your complexion will change, your style of speaking to that person will change, and there'll be a scar on your heart, an ill feeling in your heart, and then whatever that person says to you, you will not absorb the goodness of that person. There are many sins, my friends. Today from this gathering, let's try to make an attempt that we will leave this sin. Will we do this, inshallah? Yes. So take this message from this gathering today, the Holy Prophet ﷺ's beautiful sunnah, that whenever we go to a gathering, we should feel that in this gathering, I have no bad feelings about anybody, subhanAllah. Totally clean and pure. And for example, we don't even shake each other's hands. What do we know? That this person said this about me at this time. This person said this. And many other people, they go to a majlis, they go to a gathering, and for example, they leave the gathering if they have ill feelings, they leave dhikr, they leave coming to the gathering. To me, something is delivered, a statement is delivered, I understand this. But if only we were to do amal on this hadith, that for example, what have you come here for? I've come here to do dhikr. Why have you come to this majlis? I've come here have I come to sit in the gathering? Or have I come here to hear words about another person? Or if there's somebody who's pious, will I sit in his gathering? And he's coming. This is our objective, isn't it? To come to earn some thawab, to sit in a good gathering. Say, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. This is the intention. So then why do we learn about other people when we go to gathering? This man, he told me this about another person. Third party statements and secondary statements. This is not the reason we come here. So today, this is a big learning, a big, big lesson to save our hearts from darkness. I've presented this point in front of you, my friends. If our hearts become clean, subhanAllah, then our ibadah will not take us to the heights. Our worship will not take us to the heights. We do ibadah. But how do we secure our ibadah? We need to attain nur from the deeds, and we need to protect our hearts. In the Naqshbandi silsila, there's a term which is to protect. To protect. This is a term. To preserve and to protect. This is a term. We do amal on this. To protect our deeds. To preserve our deeds. Always we're protecting, preserving, securing our hearts. That I don't want anything bad to enter my heart. That always I want the nur of dhikr to stay within me. I swear by Allah, the human being, if he implements this for 1 month, practice this for 40 days, 30 days, to protect and secure your heart, I swear by Allah, your heart, your life will become nur ala nur. Your condition will change, your emotions will change, they'll improve. These are great deeds. Great deeds that we have discussed today. And we know, for example, I know how to control a jinn. Oh, sit and just keep on reciting this verse and don't eat this. And great people are sitting down 40 days in their hearts. Oh, the jinn's overtaken me. Oh, magic's overtaken me. Oh, I'm trying to control a jinn. Great people, great deeds, people are with understanding. Oh, then they go towards this path for solution. They have good ilm. They have knowledge. They have understanding. For example, where's he going to? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I've realized he sat in the dark and he's trying to control the jinn in the night. What kind of action is this? That Surah Al-Fatiha recite this and this is the cure for everything, alhamdulillah. What will the jinn do? Jinn cannot do nothing. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of jinns will come under control. Because there's no nur within us. If we have nur, light within us, if we, for example, ask a wali of Allah to recite Surah Al-Fatiha and he does dumb blows on that person, look at the effect on that person. That because he's protected his heart, secured his heart and attained the nur of Surah Al-Fatiha. Tell me. A person who has such tools and resources, can a jinn overtake that person? In fact, that person recites surah, this is a great person. And jinn, for example, is overtaking this person. And he knows what the jinns are doing. He can tell you within a minute all of your issues. And, for example, then you oppress that person's legs and you run after the person. Oh, he extracts the jinns from people. He's an exorcist. Everything of us, the solutions come. But we don't look towards that person who has the nur of surah al-Fatiha. He is the most powerful person. They're here. Work on your heart. Protect your heart. Secure your heart. You want to control jinn? Why do you want to control jinn? So let them control jinns and you control your heart. And see how you will go beyond the rank and status of that person with the fadl of Allah. So this is a small, you can say, a formula. And today this sin that we've discussed is very common in our homes, outside, families, society. This is what we do. Say bad about others. He said this today, she said that today to this person. For example, you have good relationships with people. Somebody has said something negative about the relationship you have with people. Then you walk around, you make a face. You say, why is he making a face like this? He doesn't speak to me. This happens, doesn't it? Because of Chinese whispers and bad rumors, malicious rumors. And you don't know that person said bad about that person. We accept, Salaam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Okay, how are you? Okay, do you know about this person? What this person did and said? But you should verify it. Go direct and ask that I have a complaint. Did you say this? But what do? We complain behind people's backs. I've seen people like you, etc. And we criticize. We complain. I do this, I'll do this to you, I'll destroy you. Astaghfirullah. So we heard something from somebody else about a person, then we go and complain to that person. And he says, huh, he was okay before, an hour ago, 2 hours ago. Then after an hour, he says, what's happened to him now? He doesn't even speak to me, doesn't say salam to me, doesn't greet me. So just from a few words, 20 years, decades of friendship are lost when we recognize the genuine person. So in a little while, we realize that what is this person doing? Why is he doing this? It happens in the best of homes. You go home, you've prayed salah, go home, and you see the wife who moods off. Oh, some woman, she said something to her, that your husband did this and then that. Oh, I saw him run after a woman, except he was doing this. And she's moods off, for example, that she was fine before I left. And what's happened here? Suddenly now I've come home and she switched off. Has a jinn come? Or has something happened? And the jinn has come. The problems have come. So is this not the situation in our society? So expand your hearts. The Prophet of Allah gives a beautiful solution that when I come amongst you, all of you, my heart should be pure and have no bad feelings against anyone. When I go home, for example, we go home, we should have clean hearts with regards to everyone. When we walk around pure-hearted, even those who dislike you will start to love you. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability, capability to implement all of this. Ameen.